K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
One verse of scripture. Amen, that I want to share with us this morning. Amen. Turn with me to Luke. That's a verse of scripture that everybody ought to have committed to heart. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9. Verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You may be seated. Amen. Just like those two songs that they sang, especially that last song, I just want to talk about being committed followers of Jesus Christ. Being committed followers of Jesus Christ. How many committed followers of Jesus Christ are in the house today?
Amen.
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 When you look at this word committed, Webster gives us this definition. Webster says that the word committed, praise God, or the word commitment, means to bind as by a promise or a pledge. Amen. And in the world that we live in, I need not tell you, it seems like everything we get involved in, Sister Howard, takes some type of commitment from us. Can I give you some examples? Everything that we are involved with, I don't care if you are knee-high to a toe frog or whether or not you stand 7 foot tall. Everything that we do in life carries some type of commitment. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that these young folk are in here today, praise God, because this is their day. Amen. Let me just give you some examples. If you want to drive a vehicle, can I see the hands of those folks who want to drive a vehicle? Amen. See, if you want to drive a vehicle, amen, you have to commit to be willing, amen, to spend the next 4 to 6 years paying for that automobile. Amen. Unless you get one of those jalopies, praise God, that somebody just give you. But if you want to drive a vehicle where you have some assurance that it's going to take you from point A to point B, there has got to be a commitment that over the next 4 to 6 years, you're going to be paying for them. And in today's economy, it may be the next 4 to 10 years, amen, to pay for that vehicle. If you want a cell phone, and that's every young person in here, should I say every person in here, Maybe I ought to ask the question, Sister Lee, how many young people in here today, I'm going to take my glasses off, that don't have a cell phone? I can't believe this. Hey, if you want a cell phone, praise God, you must commit to at least 2 years of a monthly bill. I'm telling what I know from a fact. If you want cable television or you want direct TV, you have to commit to at least to sign some type of contract.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And guess what? When you sign the contract, it's not guaranteed that the price you sign for when you start is going to be the price that you pay through the lifetime of that contract. Because the last time I checked, technology is going up. Cable television is going up. Direct television is going up. And guess what? They'll add some stuff to your television that wasn't on the contract that you signed. Yeah. So you're going to make that commitment. Amen. If you want to go to college, amen, I got some seniors in here. Where, Sister Kennedy, how many other seniors I got in here?
Faith.
Kennedy in here. Where's Faith at? Faith. If you want to go to college, you must commit to at least 2 years,
amen,
4 years, or 8 years of your life, amen, so that you can achieve what it is you want to achieve. And then after you make that commitment for 2, 4, or 8 years, you're going to commit a long time to continue paying off that college loan.
Amen.
If you want a house, how many of you are here today that don't own a house, but you want one? Praise God. You want a house. Can I tell you what commitment you're going to have to make? You're going to have to make a commitment for either 15 to 30 years. Amen. Of paying off that house until it become yours. Amen. We made a commitment when we bought this church, praise God, that for about 20 years, we're going to have to pay a certain note. No. Amen. I'm trying to speed that thing up. Praise God. But we made a commitment. Amen. That we would do that. Not only that, praise God, if you make a commitment to marriage. Should I say if you marry? Can I tell you that that is a lifelong commitment?
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, Lord. That's a lifelong commitment.
Amen.
And while some people have trouble committing to some things, to somebody, then there are other who sign their lives away. Praise God, on contracts, so that they can have stuff. They'll sign a credit card where they're paying 15 to 16% interest. Sometimes 24% interest because they want some stuff. Amen. You see, it looks like, little Sister Kelsey, it looks like we would be used to commitments. We ought to be, don't we? We've made all of these commitments. It seems that we ought to be used to commitments since it is in nearly every facet of our life. I don't think there's a person in here that has not made a commitment to some of the things that I just outlined, and they've made some commitments to some other things. But it seems like when we make a commitment to serve God, amen, we get the crawfish syndrome. Anybody know what the crawfish syndrome is? We begin to back up on that commitment. Praise God. But can I remind us today that God wants what God wants from his followers, a real commitment.
Amen.
Amen. There was a story about a hen and a hog. Amen. The hen and the hog was walking down the street, and they passed by a church. And the church says, praise God, help the needy. Help the needy. And they started to talk. I'm talking about the hen and the hog. They begin to talk about what things, some of the things that they can do to help the needy. The hen said, I know what we can do to help. Praise God. He said that we could give them ham and eggs for breakfast. The hog got somewhat terrified when he heard that. He said, that's okay for you. For you, it's only a contribution. Somebody gonna catch this going home. He said, but for me, it is total commitment. Amen. Praise God. You see, God wants total commitment. But most people only want God when they want something or when it is convenient.
Yes, sir.
Just like those folks that followed Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Praise God. If we were to go back, he was healing the sick. He was feeding those who were hungry. So they were following him just because he was feeding and because he was healing. But my brothers and my sisters, Jesus is more interested in quality than in quantity. He wants total commitment, praise God, from us. And if he did not want total commitment, there are some things that he would never have written, allowed the Holy Spirit to move upon men to write. Amen. Now, it's amazing that Luke, who is the writer of our gospel here, and Luke, who is also the writer of the history book of the church, the book of Acts, is the only author, praise God, throughout the Bible, who is not a Jew. He was a Gentile. The only one, and if we look at Luke's writing, praise God, Luke gives us some deep and profound things that will help every last one of us along the way. But look, one of the things that Luke writes at Luke chapter 14, verse 26, put this on the marquee. He says, if any man comes to me and hate not his father and mother and wife, see wife says, yes, he tell me that sometimes I got that. And children, and brothers, and sisters. And he say, yes, his own life also. Praise God. He says that he cannot be one of my disciples.
My God.
Oh my God, that's how serious it is. When we put this badge and we wear this honor of being a Christian, it takes a commitment, a total commitment. Praise God. You see, this is no week, no way to speak, to win friends and to influence people, but Jesus want real people. He want genuine people. He want, praise God, committed people. And he wanted them then, and he want us to be really committed today. And the first one ought to jump out at you real quick. He said the first thing that we find is that we must deny self.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you got to deny self. Praise God. You see, we must decide, we have to deny ourselves. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ means more than simply knowing that he is, in fact, the Messiah.
Yes,
the devil knows that.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. The devil knows that.
Yeah.
So we have to know a little bit more than the fact that he is just the Messiah.
Yeah.
It means that we are also willing to deny, praise God, ourselves.
Yeah.
That includes me and that includes you.
Yeah.
And this may sound like a play on words, but denying yourself doesn't mean so much thinking less of yourself.
Yeah.
It really means thinking of yourself less.
Yeah.
Amen. You see, in other words, you have to put him before yourself.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, hallelujah.
Yes,
I'm getting ready to go somewhere now.
Yes.
Amen. You got to put him before yourself.
Yes,
amen. We live in a world today, and I'm glad that this is Youth Sunday. Praise God, where our young folk are so stuck on self. Amen. I walk around. They're not supposed to have phones. Anybody got a cell phone up here? Somebody give me a cell phone. If you got a cell phone, just give it to me. Thank you. Illustrated purpose. Amen. I see them throughout the day. Let me take my glasses off. How many of y'all get up in the morning and look in the mirror and know what you look like? Huh? Come on now. Y'all be real with me. How many of y'all get up in the morning and you know what you look like?
Amen.
And all through school, when they know they're not supposed to have, I see kids that... They are so in love with self. I heard Jasper Williams say one day they were so in love with self, it's a wonder they don't die from an acute case of sugar diabetes. We have to deny self. And there are four areas of all of our lives, amen, where we have to deny ourselves. And I'm glad that this is our Youth Sunday. Praise God. You see, first of all, let's take our families. Because I know everybody say, man, I love my family. Yeah, nobody going, man, you talk about anything you want. You talk about my family. Praise God. But don't you know when it comes down to your family, there's going to be a time when you're going to have to put down your family.
Amen.
Praise God for the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. You see, denying your family, you no longer allow your family and their preferences keep you from following Christ. Keep you from the things of Christ. Praise God, because you are going to love him more than you love your family. But not only just take a look at our family, but just let's look at some of these friends that we have. Oh yeah, you have to deny some of those friendships. You see, you'll cut loose those so-called friends that keep you from growing in Christ, those that keep you from maturing in Christ. Praise God. You'll keep away from those who try to keep you away from doing the things that God wants you to do. And can I remind every last one of us in here, again, I don't care how young you are, praise God, God has a purpose for you in your life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But let's go on to the next aspect of life. Let's take property and stuff. You see, denying ownership of the rights of your property.
Yeah.
You place everything you have in the Lord's hand, praise God, to do with it as he pleases. Yes, oh boy, somebody's sitting out there and say, I wonder would he give me some examples of that. I'm going to give you some examples. I thank God for the Holy Spirit, praise God, because I don't have this written down, but I thank God, amen. You see, God has blessed us with some great material things. Some of y'all who have, God has blessed you to wear a pair of Gucci shoes. God has blessed you to wear, to walk around with a Gucci pocketbook. God has even blessed you to wear a Gucci cap. And if not Gucci, Louis Vuitton. And some of them other folk that you go out and spend all of that money, praise God, and then when you go back and peel the grape, all of it came from over in one of them little old places across the, off the water. Praise God. And you paying all kind of money for that name. But guess what? When you deny self, what you would do is thank God for allowing you to have the wherewithal to buy Mr. Gucci, to buy Mr. Louis Vuitton. And then you use Mr. Gucci and Mr. Louis Vuitton, praise God, as a conversation piece. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Yes, can I make this an illustrative sermon? Somebody bring me a pocketbook up here. Come on, you got one right there. Bring it here. Amen. Come on, give me that. Give me that. Give me that Gucci. God has blessed you, amen, with a Gucci. You got your Gucci bag. On your shoulder. Use the Gucci bag so that when somebody comes over to you and say, man, sister, that is a great looking bag. That's a great looking pair of Gucci shoes you have on. That's a great Gucci cap you have on your head. Use that so when they come over and start talking about Mr. Gucci.
Yes, sir.
Introduce them to somebody else.
Yeah, Pastor.
By the name of Jesus.
Yeah, Pastor.
Don't you get hung up.
Yeah, Pastor.
Praise God on some of the stuff that you have.
Yeah, that's right.
So anything that God has blessed you with.
Yeah.
Amen. That big beautiful truck.
Yeah.
That big beautiful house.
Yeah.
Them Stacy Adams shoes that you have. Praise God. Use that.
Yeah.
Praise God, to tell somebody about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. But not only that, amen, let's take our own preferences. Being a committed follower of Christ also means that you deny or you forgo, you give up, praise God, many of your own preferences so that you could satisfy the things of Christ.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you see, before anything that is truly of God can be done, you must own, praise God, your own preferences must die.
Yeah.
In other words, your desire to serve a lead in any position, regardless if it's in the church, if you're not doing it because of him.
Yeah.
Any position that you lead in the community. Praise God. Any position that you lead, praise God, you must, praise God, always put Christ first and put his mission and the purpose that he has for you in your life first.
Yeah.
You see, when we are seeking the Lord's direction, praise God, the Lord's will, we have reached the place where we can go before the Lord, praise God, with no will of our own.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. In other words, our preferences, praise God, become secondary, praise God, to his desires and his mission and his purpose for us in this life.
Yeah.
Paul was speaking sort of this when he shared with us in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1, when he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, praise God. Praise God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? reasonable service. And he goes on, if you look at verse 2, he said, and be not conformed. Amen to this world. Amen. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise God. Paul also, when he was speaking to the Galatian church, he shared these words at Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And look what he goes on to say, and in the life which I now live in the flesh, praise God, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. You see, Paul was a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Prior to his experience on the Damascus Road, Paul had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. But after his experience on the Damascus Road, he became, praise God, what? He became a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Because he took the same zeal that he had in persecuting the church. Praise God, he took that same zeal, turned it around, and he started building churches. He started pastoring churches. He began to teach churches. He began to train pastors and preachers, evangelists, praise God, so that they can go out and speak, praise God, the unadulterated word of God. So if we are going to be committed followers of Jesus Christ, we must deny self. But the second thing that we must do, and that is we must take up our cross. Turn to your neighbor. Say, well, neighbor, I know you thought that Jesus Christ was the only one that carried a cross. But you got to take up your cross. Amen. You see, the people in Jesus' time, they knew what it meant to take up a cross. They saw scores of criminals bear the cross to the place where they were going to be executed. Praise God. And they witnessed scores of crucifixions, some even by the sides of the roads, praise God, that led in and out of the cities. You see, the cross is always an instrument of death, and not just an object, praise God, to be carried a bear. Amen. You see, we speak lightly when we talk about bearing our crosses these days. Not everything we endure, not everything that we suffer, not everything that we go through is a cross. You see, a cross is something we willingly, voluntarily endure or accept simply because you are, in fact, a Christian and have chosen to follow Jesus's path instead of your own. Amen. I'm gonna make it a little bit plainer for you. You see, taking up our cross means that we have a willingness to do everything, even to suffer death, if needed be, for the sake of Jesus Christ.